You're now experiencing the AJ Nashville Podcast. Real people, real problems, real success stories.
Hey guys, Alex here, AJNashville.com. Here with another podcast. I think this is episode 62.
I thought it was 63.
Maybe it's 63. I lose count. You know, it's one of those things that you kind of get into it and you say, this is going to be difficult. And then everything kind of flows with steam and then you're like, oh, this is easy. And you lose track. So anyways, I'm here with Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
the notorious hi, Jeff. All right. So yesterday we did a social media marketing class. I think it went pretty well. We did it with a bunch of local agents that we work closely with. I think we had a great class. What do you think?
I think we had a great class too. And I think that these folks were able to pull away a lot of information that's going to instantly help them.
A ton of information. So I'm fortunate that I have some good teachers out there. I'm able to share this information with them. But this brings me to this podcast. So there were some things that were said within that training and also a lack of attendance from some people, which is that's fine. You know, I know in certain occasions things come up. We all know that. Life happens, right?
Right. Yep.
So that kind of brings me to the podcast today, which is making time for the right things. You know, we know that life happens. Obviously, when things happen, family comes first. Hands down, no questions asked. Your family should always come first when something goes on. Or if you have something that's pressing, a personal issue, if you're sick and you have to go to the doctor, well, guess what? You're sick and you should go to the doctor and take care of your health, because if not, then what happens?
You can't perform.
You die.
Yeah, and you can't perform.
Right. And you can't perform. You know all about the lack of performance.
No.
But anyways, but with that, there's also a responsibility to do some of the things that maybe aren't fun or aren't convenient. You know, I'm sure that everybody that came to the class wasn't like, oh my God, I can't wait. I'm so stoked about this class. I want to sit down for over an hour and listen to somebody instruct on something. But the people that showed knew one thing, that they were going to get something out of that class that was going to help them grow their presence on social media, which in turn, we know social media is a tool that we use in order to reach out to our clients and to have a brand that's out there and be better known with or more well known with the people that follow us, our sphere of influence.
Right.
So they knew by taking that class and doing that, that that was opening up potential opportunity. Okay, so there's two sides of this coin. You have some people that say, man, I wish I would have made it. And the response to that is, well, why didn't you? You know, now, some people, I've got a friend, his son got hurt. You know, that's understandable. You're not going to make, I wouldn't come to something if my son was hurt.
No, absolutely not.
You know, that wouldn't happen. But if it's just not the right time, you know, if you have something that you know 3 weeks in advance is coming up, but you're not going to make it to it, why not? The fact of the matter is it's not a priority. You know, and the thing that we have to ask ourselves, so the market's slowly changing. We're seeing things happen in this market that a lot of us knew was going to happen, and that's the slowdown in business. We know that business is slowly, it's taking longer for homes to sell. It's taking longer for deals to flip. So in turn, your agents and your mortgage people are sitting here thinking, well, I'm not getting as many deals as I was. Why? Well, because they never prepared themselves. I'm not saying all agents. I'm not saying all loan officers, but a lot of them, or some of them, we'll say.
Like, so they're maybe not.
They're not preparing.
They're not expecting that curveball to hit either. They're
right.
Kind of comfortable where they're at.
Right, and they're not preparing. And you see some people getting out of the industry because they don't do what some people do. Okay, so here's the thing. A bear, for example. A bear knows when it starts getting cold, it's time to prepare to hibernate for the wintertime, right?
Right.
So what does the bear do? The bear gets its nice fatty coat up. It eats a lot. It stores some food. It does all those things because it knows it's about to take a six-month nap.
Right.
So a bear knows that, hey, this happens every year, okay? And then years where we have maybe less of the drop in temperature. Maybe the temperature stays 60, 65 instead of dropping down to 30 and 40 degrees, which triggers the bear to hibernate. And I don't know if this is an exact science as far as temperature is concerned. So if you're listening to this and you're a zoologist and you're like, that's not right. It has to get down to 23 and a half degrees. I'm sorry. I'm a mortgage guy.
He says he's a mortgage guy, but he is pretty much a scientist, especially when it comes to the fish tanks in the office. So.
Well, I don't know about that. I just kind of mix and dump and pray. So, you know, it's one of those things. But it, for some reason, everything's stayed alive for quite a while.
It does really well. So the bear prepares itself. It gets ready for this situation that's about to happen.
And it knows it's going to happen every year. The difference is some years it takes a little bit longer to happen than others. But it's instinctive. They know, hey, this is what happens. This is what nature's programmed me to do. This is what I have to do.
Right.
Now, mortgage people. And I want to make something clear. This podcast isn't just directed to mortgage people. If you're sitting there and you're in a different industry and this doesn't apply to you because I'm not using the word of whatever it is describes your industry, you can still take bits out of this that does apply to your industry. You know, you can be in car sales, you can be in some type of networking, anything. This can apply to normal daily life. And actually, it applies to a lot of our habits and the things that we do. So the procrastination, the putting off. Imagine if you were a bear and you're like, you know what? It's 30 degrees today, but it might be warmer tomorrow. I'm not going to eat everything I should. I'm not going to do the things I can. I'm not going to do all that stuff because I really don't need to get my den ready quite yet. So the next day it snows, and the day after it snows, and now we're deep into winter. And guess what? That bear doesn't have the essentials it needs to survive. So what does it do? It starves. And what happens when a bear starves?
It gets pissed.
It gets desperate. That's when you see bears at your back door and they're like, let me in. I want to eat.
They steal your picnic basket like Yogi Bear.
Yogi Bear. Yogi Bear was actually a girl. Did you know? No, it wasn't Yogi Bear. One of the other bears I saw.
Bart Simpson was a girl, right?
No, that was a girl actor. But it was one of the other bears I saw somewhere and they were like, did you know that this bear was actually a girl? And then Yogi Bear was a guy though because he had a bow tie. But anyways, get me sidetracked. The fact of the matter is they're ill prepared, and so they either live a rough winter or they die.
And they're either going to be really lean or they're going to suffer.
I don't know if a bear being lean is something that you'd want to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're like, hey, look at that. It's the black bear of the forest, the crackhead bear. He's, you know, he's skinny. But anyways, the same thing goes for any other industry. If we know that every year things slow down because of some reason or another, or if we see it in our forecast, if you watch, if you're going to be in an industry that changes and that is impacted by outside factors, you need to watch for the warning signs. Mm-hmm. I went so long in my career with not being aware of everything that's going on around me. You did too. We both worked at a similar company where nothing that went on outside of our doors was important or was something that we looked at.
No, day in, day out, you get used to the same routine and you don't think about the things that are actually
important. Go in, get on the phone, call these leads. Okay, you're done. Go home. Go in, get on the phone, call these leads. Okay, you're done. Go home. That was the everyday.
With no awareness of the market, no awareness of anything.
But now we watch the market. And I can't fault those people that don't do that because they don't know any better.
No.
You know, so if you're in this industry, if you're listening, you're not one of the people that prepare and not one of the people that actually listen and watch what's going on. Start doing that. I mean, you could literally join Facebook groups and get the temperature of the market every single day if you want to, or you can do what I do and educate yourself. MBS Highway is a great example of educating yourself.
Say that a little slower. What was it?
MBS Highway. No, Barry Habib, MBS Highway. Okay, everybody knows what MBS Highway is. Well, maybe not. But it's a great resource for information, for market changing conditions and things like that. Mm-hmm. But back to my whole story. So we know changes are coming, so we prepare.
Right.
We do things like market. We do things like work harder. We do things like put in a couple extra hours or reach out to a couple extra people, whatever we have to do to sustain the lifestyle that we have to sustain. Mm-hmm. The big thing is you see people start to retract out of the mortgage industry, out of the real estate industry. And you ask yourself this, you're getting out of the industry to do what? A lot of people are quitting their jobs and they're saying, hey, sorry, I'm going back to a regular job, or I'm working part-time in real estate and part-time at XYZ company, right. You know? And so you're trading dollars for your time. All right. So what is one mistake that we see a lot of agents make? A lot of agents, including loan officers, will take the free time they have, and instead of working a true 8 or a true 40, they kind of dick off half the day, you know, and they get to their clients when they can, or they get leads. And they take their time and they get to them when they can, okay? But the fact of the matter is people are getting out of this industry to go work 40 hours a week for somebody else.
Right.
Could you imagine the success that people would have if they worked a true 40 at being a real estate agent, a mortgage professional, a car salesperson, a door-to-door salesperson, whatever it is, whatever your commission-based income is, because really that's the only area it impacts. Could you imagine if you worked a true 40 and actually put in a grind? If somebody was standing over you like they would your 40-hour-a-week job and saying, hey, get on the phone. Hey, send this out. Hey, go meet with this person for lunch. Could you imagine the type of success that that person would see? There's no reason to continue. If you have a job that's paying you $40,000 a year, okay, there's no reason for you to do that if you're a licensed real estate agent with the will to win. That's the biggest thing. If you're like, hey, I'm going to do this part-time because my uncle sold a house and I should have got the commission for that. And then my aunt sold a house a couple of months later because she divorced my uncle because he sold his house. You know, yes, you're going to get your family. Like by default, your family's going to be like, oh, you're a real estate agent? Sure, I'm going to buy a house from you.
Right.
But that was probably the worst decision they ever made anyways.
Well, and then once, and then that's what you're saying is once that dries up, then what?
Yeah, exactly. Now you're the bear that no longer has the necessities that they need in order to survive the winter.
Right.
So what do you do? A lot of people give up. When do we see a lot of people give up? Licensing time. Comes time to get your continuing education. Comes time to pay your dues. It comes time to pay whatever fees you have to pay. You just don't have the money.
No.
And so you quit.
And you start going into winter.
Right. And you start starving.
Right.
And so what do you have to do? You have to go back to what's safe.
Yeah.
And that's what we talk about is the safety factor, the safety net. You're relying on somebody else to pay your wage.
And it's not a fun safety net.
No, it sucks.
We're talking about just a safety net just to get you by. It's not a safety net to make you thrive.
Right, exactly. Let me ask you this. Okay, so you closed a deal last month.
Right.
It was a deal that you originated, you brought in. Was it nice to get an extra bump in your paycheck for a month?
Absolutely.
Okay, so if that was a consistent thing that you were able to consistently do, would you do it?
Absolutely.
Okay, so my question is to everyone else that's listening is, we have the ability, literally finding one deal a month as an agent is not impossible. If you're working 40 hours a week, okay, that's an average of about 160 hours a month. Are you telling me in 160 hours you can't find one fucking deal? One deal. Not saying you, I'm just saying
right, you should be able to do it. And the thing is even with the class yesterday, with those type of tools, it should be easier than ever.
Well, not to mention it's your job. Your job is to find people that want to buy and sell a home.
Right.
That is your job. And then once you find those people, then you do the other part of your job, which is negotiating, writing under contract, doing all the other stuff.
But not stopping finding more.
Right. At that because same that's, time. That's the one thing as loan officers, that's the one thing that we tend to do is, you know, we get 10 deals in. We're like, yeah, we're killing it. We got 10 deals. We're doing it. And then 2 months later, we have zero and we're starving. We're, you know, we're sitting there. And we're like, oh my God, I got to get out of the industry. I'm starving now. But all we need to do is go back and take a look at our activities. See, the months that we starve, we can go back and look 45 days in the past and say, what did we do or not do that created this depression?
I would say 9 times out of 10, you can see that you're not being prepared. You're not doing the work.
I think as loan officers, the people that work with me within the company, we all know that when there's a lot of events going on and we're traveling and we're doing things like that, all of our pipelines will, 2 months down the road, we'll see suffering in everybody's pipeline across the board.
Yep.
Unless they iterate a plan ahead of time. What's the plan ahead of time? Well, Jeff, you know, when I leave, when I go out of town, I have things in place that you do, which are money-making activities that hopefully get business in, and 9 times out of 10, it does.
Right.
I go and I get educated. I come back and I help and I start to bring deals back in the door. But while I'm gone, we have a plan in place, which is why we don't see months where there's no production.
Right.
It just doesn't exist because we have a model in place. So if your only job is to bring business in, then why are so many people suffering? You know, we could use the, well, there's an extra 5,000 licensed people. All right. Fair enough. But what are they soaking up? They're soaking up their sphere, their immediate sphere of influence.
Yeah, their families and all that. Right. What we talked about. And
exactly.
Initially, the people that get into the business initially are not necessarily getting the business that they're out hunting for. They're getting the business that's low hanging fruit, you know,
right.
Family members or whatever the low case, friends.
Fruit.
Right.
That's a great term right there. You know, and here's the thing. So you get those people that get in, the low hanging fruit's no longer available. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. If I'm licensed and I've been licensed for 6 months, and I'm your brother, and you feel by default you have to use me, am I going to negotiate the best terms and the best factors? Sometimes not. You know, we talked about this yesterday. The length of time in the industry isn't that important because I know people that have been doing this for 30 years and sold less homes than people that have been doing it for 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the length of time isn't as important, but you have to make sure that the person you're using is educated. You have to be sure that the person, you know, one thing that drives me nuts, you heard me say this yesterday. Seeing those posts, the home was only on the market for 2 hours, sold in 2 hours.
Right.
Okay, cool. You did something everybody else is doing. But the question is, did you get that extra money that you should have gotten for your client, or did you leave it on the table? Mm-hmm. Were you worried more about when that commission check was going to hit your bank account, which is slowly drifting to the negative? Or were you more worried about getting that client what it is they hired you to get?
And what's the end result? I mean, I know we're talking about this, and people should know this, but the end result of these activities. So if you hold out and you do a good job for your client,
mm-hmm.
Right. I was going to say, what's the end result right. is you're still going to get your paycheck, right? But in addition to that paycheck, what might you get?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so what am I going to brag about more? If you're looking for a mortgage person or mm-hmm. a real estate person, you say, hey, give me a realtor.
Right.
And I say, oh, man, I got this person that sold my home. They sold it in 2 hours.
Right.
It was incredible. Well, the market is defining that's kind of the norm right now. So mm-hmm. they're doing that based on the norm. But if I come to you and say, hey, check out my agent, they got me an extra $10,000 over asking price and over the highest bid.
Right. I'd want that 10 grand.
We're talking about money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who cares about two hours? I'd rather you sit my house on the market for 7 extra days
right.
to make 10 extra grand, you know? So I'm not saying that the people that are advertising that are in the wrong, but that's the market norm. That's the blue hats within a sea of blue hats.
As a client or me as a customer, if I purchase a home from an agent that did that for me, that actually took the time and got me the most amount of money for my, you know, the property I was listing, I'm going to tell a lot of people.
Yes.
If they sold my home in 2 days, I may tell one or two people. Maybe.
You may tell more than that. You know, if you got asking, you may say, hey, that's
great.
Yeah,
I might be pretty decent. But if I got more, let me tell you, I'm going to be like, hey, man, I got so much. This is awesome.
Right.
You know?
Well, and the other end of that is this. So it sounds like we're harping on realtors. We're not. What we're harping on is laziness. Mm-hmm. You know, people that can't survive over the winter. The grizzly bear idea. You can't make it through. I don't even know if grizzly bears hibernate. But whatever. I'm not a zoologist. But the other thing is loan officers. You know, I saw this last night, and it gets under my skin so bad when you see people make the comment, hey, you got to do what everyone else is doing, because if you don't sell it, your competition is going to. We did that before, remember? Mm-hmm. That was
right.
pre-2009, pick-a-pays, pay-option arms,
right.
You know, prepayment penalties, CISA, NINA, ninja loans, all that stuff. We did that before.
Yep.
And where did that end us up? Fucked.
Yeah.
And guess what? As a loan officer, we take a financial commitment to protect the equity of the people that are purchasing homes.
Correct.
So if you buy a home, I have to do what is best by you and your family in the long haul to make sure you're getting the best possible terms, to make sure you don't default. Because if you lose your home, guess what happens? You and your family are now displaced. You're pissed off. You're living in a hotel or at your parents' house or whatever the case may be. But even worse than that, you've affected the equity of the people that are next door and around you that are paying their bills, that should have the equity. So when we're educating clients, look, I'm not saying that there's certain programs that you should or should not sell, but you really need to stop looking at the low-hanging fruit and say, okay, what is the best strategy long-term for these people? You know, and that's what's important at the end of the day. If you sit down and you compare a couple different programs, and the one that they wanted so bad isn't the best, you've done them a favor.
Right.
You know, I can't tell you how many times client has come in expecting XYZ and we deliver ABC because ABC made more sense when they were purchasing a home.
Yeah.
And it made more sense in the long haul. The other thing is your NMLS ID number is tied to these loans until the end of eternity. You know, so CoreLogic has come out with a program already where they can see what your production was. So if you're a producing loan officer, I can get in here and within a fair amount of accuracy, I can say, hey, here's your production numbers.
Right.
Do you not think that same liability thing as the market slows down isn't going to be in play? Do you not think, okay, so companies have a compare ratio, all right? So if you sell FHA mm-hmm. loans, you have a compare ratio. That compare ratio determines whether or not you're going to continue to sell FHA loans, for one, because they say, hey, you're too big of a risk. We're not going to allow you to do this because the government's paid too many claims based on your performance.
Right.
But if we don't think for 1 minute that these companies aren't going to stop and say, hey, Jeff, you're too big of a liability because you wrote 200 loans last year and 20 of them defaulted. That's too big of a liability. So what do you do then? You got to go find something else to do because nobody's just like
insurance.
They're
not going to hire you. Yeah.
Right.
You're going to get into a situation where it's just not going to
work. They're not going to hire you.
Yeah, you're going for the low-hanging fruit and thinking it's going to fill your pocketbook up, but then you're...
But hold up. I want to stop you right there. That's the mentality. It's going to fill your pocketbook. Who gives a fuck about your pocketbook if you're not doing what's best by the people? And I know you said that right. as an example.
Right.
But it's our responsibility to do what's best by the people. You know, if you're a doctor, and I hate comparing mortgage people and doctors because it's... Mortgage people are nothing even close to what a doctor is. But it's a great comparison. If you're a doctor and you have a patient who is suffering from anxiety, you're not going to give them heartburn medicine because your rep said, hey, sell all this heartburn medicine. We're going to give you a bonus.
Right.
Because that's not going to take care of the person's needs. Okay. So doing what's best, you're a professional. Literally, you are in a career. You're a licensed individual. It is your responsibility to make sure that you act like one. And that you take what you do seriously. Now, getting into being a loan officer, a lot of people ask me this. Hey, I want to be a loan officer. Why? Why? Why do you want to be a loan officer? Well, you know, you get paid good money. You do this. No, you don't. It sucks. It's hard work. It's stressful. It's not something everyone wants to do. And yes, the reward is there, but it's there for a small percentage.
It's there for the people that do the work, and there for the people that do right by their clients.
It's the 80-20 rule.
It's even more so than the 80-20 rule, because you could be a hard worker but not be doing the right thing for your client too.
Right.
So it's
stop chasing the commission checks. Start chasing what's best for the client. The commission checks will come.
Correct.
You know, and at the end of the day, why do I say it sucks or it's hard or whatever, and why do I continue to do it? Well, the thing is, it sucks or it's hard because you have to figure out how you're going to be different. How are you going to get business? How are you going to continue to grow? How are you going to do the things that are necessary to make sure that you can provide for your family, but also put people in a position that's best for them?
Right.
You know, because here's the worst thing. Somebody sends you their brother, their cousin, their uncle, their whatever. You do the loans. You compound those loans together. You've done 10 of their family members' loans or word of mouth or whatever. And that's a superstar referral partner to you because that person is really producing and going after it. Now, what happens if 3-4 years up the road come by and that person loses their home because they found out you put them in the wrong product? Or what happens when they have to sell their home because their job now switched and they get hit with a tax penalty? Because you forgot to tell them about the first-time homebuyers program that they signed up for also carried a penalty if they sold within the window of time.
Right.
What about that? You see? So now that person that was a super producer for you is now hating you and is talking bad to you about – and word of mouth, bad. Let me tell you, if you're having a shitty day and you come in, I'm like, what's wrong? And the first 10 things out of your mouth is my loan officer sucks, that's pretty bad. So – you know, and that's why you see an influx of business. That's why you see people that, you know, back pre-2009, there was a lot of loan officers. That was like the thing to do. I think that's how I got into it. It was like the thing to do. And that's where everybody was making decent money. And now you go back and you look, and literally as that crested and everything went bad and everything went south because we weren't smart. We were the bears that waited until the day after it started snowing to start preparing. Mm-hmm. And so lots of people starved out of the industry. You had people making stupid amounts of money.
Yeah.
Like that movie, what's it called? The real estate or the Big Short. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. There's these two douchebags and they're sitting up by the bar and, you know, you can tell they're kind of younger, hotshot mortgage people. And one of the guys is like, yeah, last year I was a bartender. This year I bought a boat, you know.
Right.
That's what people did. Literally. You went from a regular old job to all of a sudden you're making all this money, buy a new Mercedes, new boat, new house, new this, new that, and then all of a sudden it snows. What happens?
They starve.
They starve out. Or they got to find a new way to do business. They have to pioneer and figure out a different way to get things done. So, you know, the biggest message is this. Don't put off what you could be doing today to create the success because tomorrow's not guaranteed. So if you put that off, you may find yourself starving tomorrow. The other thing is, don't work so hard that you don't get to enjoy the things that you want to enjoy.
Right.
With your family.
You can't just.
What do you do if you work your ass off, 5 years goes back and or 5 years goes by and your daughter who was crawling is now walking and talking and doing everything that you're like, what the hell happened?
You missed it.
You missed it. Why'd you miss it? Because your eye was so focused on the prize. So it's about balance. It's about finding the combination of the two and making it work. So. I know this podcast ran a little long today. I apologize. This is something that I've thought about the past couple of days, and it's something that I feel pretty strongly about. I want to make sure that we're doing the right things. You know, at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we're doing what's best for our family. We go to work every day to provide for what? For our families. And if we don't have a family, what do? We go to work to provide for ourselves. But we have to prepare ourselves for that snow or that storm that's going to come. Because whether we like it or not, guess what? December rolls around, it's probably going to snow one of those days. And then you watch the whole state of Tennessee shut down.
Oh, yeah. One snowflake, people, they're like, it's an excuse not to go to work.
Right. They're like, hey, it's supposed to snow next week. School's like, we're shutting down forever. Yeah. So anyways, thanks again for tuning in, guys. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for tuning in to the AJ Nashville Podcast. Episodes air Mondays at 6 and Fridays at 5. Thank you for your ongoing support. Please subscribe.